The next speaker is me, so I've already been introduced, so I'm happy to be here. I've never introduced myself before, but so first for everything. And Andy Tiwari is my presenting partner today. Andy practices with his own firm in San Antonio and has been a frequent presenter on this program, and happy to have Andy helping out today and helping me with this presentation. We're talking about Show Me the Money today. We're talking about the capital call provisions in LLC company agreements and LP agreements. It's a part of the agreement. You know, I find that my clients sometimes get a little bogged down, and I'm not sure they're really that aware of what 40 pages or so of the company agreements say, but they're almost always aware of what the money provisions say, because that's what obviously what a lot of them, it's their motivation for entering into these contracts. And so Andy actually suggested that we might want to have a presentation about the capital call provisions, and in particular, we're going to try to save quite a bit of time today to talk about some pretty interesting recent cases to see how the courts have dealt with these capital call money provisions in the contracts that have been litigated in Texas. We're going to start out real quickly talking about debt versus equity as just sort of a something to think about when you're forming these companies, different types of capital contributions, drafting the capital contribution provisions. I think that this is an important and maybe kind of hopefully helpful, more helpful to you, the remedy provisions. What do you say in your company agreement or your LLC agreement? What are the consequences if somebody agrees to make a contribution to the company and then they don't? And then, like I said, we're going to try to save us plenty of time to talk about case law. And if we have time at the end, we might talk a little bit about adding new investors down the road. Andy, you're going to start, I think, just with a little quick talk about debt versus equity.
And we'll try to go through this, I think, this section quickly, because I'm sure most of us by now have gotten comfortable with a capital call provision or various forms of that within our company agreements. But it's nice to have not only a refresher and also think through some of the issues that have been revealed through recent case law. Thinking fundamentally, I wouldn't want to exclude other options in funding the entity. I know with a lot of small startups, you know, there is still the potential to bring on funds in the form of debt or loans. And just briefly, you know, thinking through some of the things that you may be looking for in that scenario, it's an alternative to the making someone a traditional investor, and that may be beneficial depending on the circumstances. There are some advantages with funding in the form of debt, in that, you know, there's less obligation from the company in certain ways, you know, compared to having an investor on board. It's easy to draft, fairly well understood by the courts, a fixed obligation that has priority. And if anyone's been through a, you know, company with a decent number of assets going through bankruptcy, you know that the investors get hosed, but the debtors have a seat at the table. So I think sometimes we jump into the seat of putting someone as a member or partner without reevaluating whether another alternative makes sense. Now, obviously in Texas, especially with smaller entities, you're going to see a lot of personal guarantees. And there's some other things that you can do on behalf of the lender to give them a little bit more say in their notes and the related documents and the security agreement, as an example. Beth actually talked about a case that had some application here, because you do have to be careful if you're trying to be aggressive on behalf of the lender as far as how far you go. And, you know, obviously, lenders are also going to have to watch out for the reemergence of lender liability. If you're not familiar with lender liability, this is essentially when a lender is taking too much control over how the borrower is using the funds. That's a rough summary of what it is. But it's a very broad body of case law. There's actually a somewhat recent case called Bailey Tool Manufacturing versus Republic Business Credit. It's not in the materials, but if you're really interested in it, just come and see me. I'm sure you won't be surprised. It involved a factoring company. And the factoring company had a lot of decision-making that they did on behalf of that borrower. Sounds like it's turned off. The court actually, not only did they pour them out, they awarded punitive damages against them because of the level of control that they exercised. And just remember, when a lender takes too much control over a situation, it actually makes them a fiduciary. So it puts them in a position of having to think in the best interest of the borrower, which is a pretty bad position for a lender to be.